I think they like you, Steve.
Hello. Hi. Welcome to Taco Tuesday.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
It's the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Have no place to go, darling.
Hi. Oh, sorry. People are sleeping. 6:12. Good morning. Hi. Welcome.
Yes, I'm going.
Maybe my favorite guest on this show is on the show today, General Borling. General John Borling, longest serving POW in Vietnam. And I'm not just saying that because even at 79, he could kill me with his bare hands. I mean, I really like him. So he'll be in here later. Jeremy Colleton's on the show today. The Hawks try to figure out the mess they're in. Christmas Pete today. Is he still filled with the Christmas spirit, Sandberg? Do you know? You know him better than anybody.
He is. He's Christmas to the max. This is the second to last Christmas, Pete. And then next Monday, I believe, he will be giving you his top 10 songs.
Okay.
So he's winding down as Christmas approaches.
He's like the Casey Kasem of Christmas spirit. And coming in at number 3.
That would be a cool countdown, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Now, you worked with him. I mean, you didn't meet him until you started working it, right?
Right.
You mean Pete and Casey Kasem?
No, Pete and Justin.
Casey Kasem?
But Justin and Casey Kasem, very similar.
Very similar.
Get
it right, guys.
If either one of you guys had a long talk with him, because I don't feel like Pete's the kind of guy that will really sit down and open up emotionally. And, you know, I like to connect on that level. I like to sit down and really open up.
Yes, you do. That's what I noticed about you. And I'm so happy that that's in my life now, that you are... We just have these deep, thoughtful conversations off air.
I've kind of cracked that nut.
Yeah.
You haven't.
Don't you think Pete could probably be working for the CIA?
He's got CIA written all over him.
Yeah, I think there's some secret life Pete has that doesn't.
Pete lets his Instagram talk for him.
Is that it? Yeah. Is that where the story gets told?
Yeah, and it's mostly his loved ones, his pets.
It's pets, yeah. But it's the quiet ones you got to watch out for.
Don't you think?
And the CIA connection would explain the eggplant completely.
Yeah, that is true.
And now he passes it off as, some crazy thing that just happens to him on his front step.
It's really all about Yemen.
Yeah. So if you have any theories on what Pete's really up to, feel free to text us at 312-981-7200. I don't think he's a threat.
No, not at all.
Unless we cross him.
He's a creative threat.
Well, that's a good thing.
I bet you there are questions General Borling could ask him to ferret this out.
How this all ties together.
Maybe do a little waterboarding while he's here.
I'll say this. Pete is stubborn, and he can't be deterred. You know, when we do these videos where we go eat in the Pedway, he's the shooter for those. And there's been a couple of restaurant owners that have complained to him, and they say one lady got in his face about, how would you like if I take your picture? And Pete was like, go ahead, take it. I'm like, oh my gosh, we're going to get in a fight while I'm trying to eat a sandwich on camera here. Like, Pete was, he digs in. And he keeps
the camera steady while he is having a push
in
fight.
In confrontation.
A push fight with his left hand.
Why don't they want their pictures taken?
They're not really. They're like in the background. It's not like
they're like extras.
Yeah, but they. I guess we didn't ask permission, so it's. But it's more about me. I know that.
So would it be cutaways? Would the cutaways like you're eating a sandwich, and the cutaway is Pete having a fist fight with somebody?
Right, right. And it's happened twice where he's been confronted. We had a security guard tell us not to take a picture, and Pete just kept taking the picture, and I'm like, oh my god, stop! Like, he's going to get us in building security trouble, which I don't know what.
Well, that's
what
interesting. Did you know the stubborn side?
Not really. Not much. So. He's a very, I think the word is amiable. I say Pete
he's
is
a very caring
guy,
yeah. I think. And I know him probably the least of all of you, and I think he's very caring.
Like, and he's sitting right there.
Yeah.
So it is kind of weird to have in this conversation like we've lost Pete.
Yeah.
He's not dead. He's right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to say he lived his life with dignity.
We're famous class. For that. Yeah, no, we do that all the time here.
Who are we going to analyze tomorrow?
Probably you.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah. I love that.
Yeah, probably you.
I'll be here for that.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Top 6 at 6 coming up. MVPP after 7 o'clock as well. Dean after 8. Chris Collins after 9. Where are you guys playing tonight?
Home against the very impressive Michigan Wolverines, who are fifth in the nation and haven't lost a game and blowing people away.
I was at the Michigan game last year. Wasn't that the Michigan game?
Yeah, well, that was Michigan State you saw.
Oh, it was Michigan State. Yeah. Up by 75 in the first half and lost by four.
Thanks for reminding me.
Northwestern's having a good season, though, so this could be an early test.
It's a terrific early test, and they've beaten Michigan at home the last couple of years, so we'll see.
Right. Adam Hogue later on whether he will start for the Bears this Sunday as well, since the Bears. Well, how about the Washington Redskins? The Redskins are just the center of death for quarterbacks.
Yeah, and I mean, it's like the Joe Theismann syndrome because.
Break a leg.
And this one on Monday Night Football, too. Colt McCoy.
Yeah. Yeah. But I went to bed. But I'm sure Mark Sanchez stepped up and won the game going away. No?
No, it didn't happen. But he did recover a butt fumble.
Was there another butt fumble?
Yeah, he did. Did you see the video of that?
There was another butt fumble.
He recovered it, though.
What is the deal with he and butt fumbles?
I don't know.
Center bends over, hands you the ball. That's how it generally works.
Yep.
All right.
Daniels would give him some pointers.
Last night's Monday night game. Who won, by the way, since I brought it up?
Philadelphia,
that's right. Philadelphia won, and the NFC East is kind of a joke, but the Cowboys still leave there. Dave will have all this coming up. And Orion Samuelson with stories about President George H.W. Bush later.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Don't get your kicks. With the top 6 at 6, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
Here's a bonus item on the top 6. Loyal listener Leo says this. Steve, this is a text. Steve says, about 100 times during the show. Do I? Do I say, Is that a... Is that
you
a,
go,
Turn your mic on. Why can I not hear?
He said, especially after a quick joke, but I love Steve C. Smile face.
Yeah, right. Leo, love there, great.
I'm going to have to listen for that.
I can't say. What's the most annoying tick I have? Let's just go around the room quickly. Starting with you, Mary Vandeveld. What's the most annoying thing I do on the air?
I'm not starting this one.
All right, Steve.
I'd say you often say suffice to say.
No, I don't say suffice. I say something else.
Yeah, there's another phrase that you use.
There's another hook. I agree.
Oh,
that
I got
annoying.
One now. Back to me.
Okay, go ahead.
Too many bands. You've been in too many bands.
Are you telling me? Imagine the time it takes?
Remember yesterday after the show, he was in a jacked placenta or something.
Right. Oh, placenta problems.
Placenta problems.
Sorry.
Yeah, that was a band.
They have the number one song in America right now.
Dave, what's the most annoying thing I do on the air?
You once interrupted me.
What?
Yes.
That seems odd. Yeah. Super Joe.
Yeah.
He's uncomfortable answering this question.
What are we talking about?
How about this? What's the most annoying thing Brandmeier used to do on the air?
So
come on, Super Joe. He can't hurt you now.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel.
Apparently, we're moving on. No, Justin, what's the most annoying thing I do on the air?
A stall on the top 6 of 6. Let's get to it, buddy.
Ooh, look at the old producer in you coming out.
The producer comes out.
And?
I don't think you do anything.
Yeah. Good call. Look at you.
I feel like you just got thrown under the bus.
Item number one, New Cook County Assessor Fritz Kagi cleans house. Joe Berrios, colleagues, coworkers out. Says overall change will take time. Kagi won, Berrios out. Berrios part of the old Chicago machine.
I had laughed out loud yesterday when I read this story. I did not know. They said this week, people who have left Joe Berrios' office, his sister and his daughter, both getting paid $130,000 plus per year.
Hey, if you can't get a nepotism hookup in Chicago, I mean, there's
the,
something
but
wrong.
That's the joke. That's the stereotype of the joke. And then you actually find out that the guy who's the assessor, the property tax guy under fire, he's got all these six-figure jobs for family members.
Did I see their exit interview? Oh, I think things are great. I can't believe I'm leaving.
Fritz Kagi made a joke, I think a pretty dumb joke, in his acceptance speech where he said, and I want to thank my family, but I'm not going to give you any jobs. And I went, okay, well,
yeah,
Chicago.
It's
not funny, right? Yeah. But it is funny because the guy he's replacing did that.
But it's funny ridiculous, not funny.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
That blows my mind. In this day and age, that in 2018, we still have politicians like, my sister does really good work.
Right.
She should get paid.
She's important. Next. I'll tell you what, every time I do that this morning, so we can identify when it happens, I'll give you something off the prize list until I run out of prizes. We got Lou Malnati's Pizza. We have app gift cards. We have a gift certificate to Golf Center, displays or two. So just keep it in mind. Be the first caller when I say, ah, at 312-981-7200. With its I just did it. I literally just did it. That's the first thing I said.
Yes.
Well,
I
call
guess
now.
Leo is correct there.
Leo.
Thanks, Leo.
The only way to admit you need a cure is to admit you have a problem. With its low solve rate for shooting, Chicago police are going to add 50 sergeants to oversee detectives. CPD will argue with you all day long, and rightfully so, in my opinion, about whether or not... By the way, the phones are blowing up.
I'm sorry.
They are blowing
from
up.
The 815, it says, it's only ah. Otherwise, we love everything about you. Ah after jokes. It's very annoying. Your listeners don't need
if
a problem.
It helps, if it helps, when I was in for you on Friday, really? I said tremendous probably 45 times for the Vernon Hills Choir, and somebody... wrote, there's other words in the dictionary, Justin.
I don't notice that about you.
Yeah, but they got
I'm trying
me.
To think if there's a hook about you.
Oh, there's plenty. Talk to Pete Zimmerman. He will tell you there was a time when I was doing interviews on the Download where he would have a running tally of the. I would
the talk
say,
about.
I mean, the talk about's a. I will defend the talk about, but the I will do the. I mean, in the middle of a question, I mean, like that, and he would do a tally like he's like a.
It's always
a
bad
thing.
1, 2, 3, 4,
cross to 5, tally.
It's always a bad thing in a relationship when you list the things you don't like about the other person.
I liked it, though, because I was like, good, I got something to work for. I mean...
All right, that one was intentional, yeah, but you can still call and win.
Yeah.
Governor-elect J.B. Pritzker shows deep gratitude for Governor Bruce Rauner at the Illinois Bicentennial, says the state's best days are ahead. You know, Dave, I remember when we were youngsters.
Mm-hmm.
And Ali and Frazier had the great fight at Madison Square Garden when, you know, boxing was still boxing.
Sure.
And then they said nice things about each other afterwards. And I remember saying to my father, how can they punch each other in the face and then suddenly they say nice things about each other? Well, that's what this is. Pritzker and Rauner. They punched each other in the face to the tune of $320 million in spending between the two of them and their own money. And now Rauner's a great guy.
I can't wait till there's a new governor and these two become humanitarian best friends.
You mean like George?
Yeah. Like Bush and Clinton.
You know what it's like? It's like the handshake line at the end of a Stanley Cup series.
Right. I'm going to punch you in the face. I'm going to get you in the corner. I'm going to hit you over the head with my stick. I'm going to insult your mother. And then I'm going to shake your hand at the end of the game.
JB also said we should be proud of the 200 years of progress. And he's looking forward to building on that.
I don't know that it's been 200. I think, you know, there's been a few years where we haven't progressed. Next. I did it again. There it is. There's three. See, now I'm noticing it.
Wow. These lines are lighting up.
Stymied in their efforts to enter the U.S., several thousand migrants camped at the border in Tijuana have started evaluating their options. Hundreds have signed up to be repatriated to their home countries. Many others have accepted Mexico's offer of a one-year humanitarian visa that will allow them to stay and work. There's more than 2,000 that have begun the long process of petitioning for asylum in the U.S., where you're likely to have less than 100 openings for asylum, even if that's allowed to run its course. Others are trying to cross the border illegally, though that doesn't appear to be many. So, you know, if you buy into the Fox version of this, that this roving band of marauders filled with criminals suddenly walked 1,000 miles to break into the United States, well, I mean, there's the reason that none of that's true. And if you're truly a terrorist, if you're truly a bad guy criminal and you got to walk 1,000 miles, you're in the wrong gang. You ought to get a ride. Next.
Hey, Tom. I know a way into the country. We just have to walk 1,000 miles.
1,000 miles. And then it's going to be great. World's highest paid YouTube star is someone named Ryan of Ryan Toys Review. Anybody know this guy?
Yes, we watch Ryan Toy Review at our house.
What's it special about him?
He just does these quick little videos playing with a toy, and so you know if you should get it or not. He also now has...
Can you just turn a camera on Bill Leff and get the same thing?
Probably, but he's a little more cute. A 7-year-old, you know, it works better probably than Bill.
Oh, he's a little kid.
Yeah, he's 7.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So what parent put him up to this?
I'm guessing his parent, but they have a whole line of plush, like, what do you call those, stuffed animals and things. Ryan has his own line that sells at Walmart, too, so.
So the kid's killing it.
Oh,
he's killing it. Steve, what we'll do.
26 billion views.
In lieu of a post-show meeting, we will turn on, every day we'll do a different YouTube channel that you don't know about, and we'll have to watch an hour of a kid going, hey, everybody, welcome back. Thanks for being here.
They're clear and concise. They're real short, you know, and they tell you if you want the toy or not.
So,
what are you doing with Miles? Because Miles could have this kind of income right now.
I know. Yeah. He has said to me a couple times, like, I need to get my own channel.
Yeah, he does.
I'd totally be behind that.
Yeah.
Not having to raise him.
Yeah, and then having to have that headset. Hey, guys, welcome to December 4th. It's me, Miles. How's everything going? Today we talk about theories about Infinity War. Spider-Man.
I remember when he actually had to have talent to be a star. $22 million, is that what that little squirt made last year?
Yep.
Yeah, how about that?
$22 million, and he's seven.
Mm-hmm.
And I bet he doesn't get to... He's getting like a $5 every 2 weeks allowance from his parents.
Yeah. It'll be gone by 12.
Ryan, we don't know what happened. A couple of rough years.
This makes me violent. I just feel violence now.
You don't want that. Finally, Netflix taking Friends off their service after January 1st, 2019. I've got to believe that, December, you were a part of this. You have friends at Netflix? You called, made the decision because of your disdain for Jennifer Aniston?
No, even though I'm not a Jennifer Aniston fan, Catherine and I watch a lot of Friends on Netflix, so this is very disruptive to our downtime. This is, I'm not happy.
My wife does, too. So
I have seen every episode 43 times.
I have, too.
Oh, yeah. When there's nothing, we can't decide on something, we just put them on, and they run. We're not even watching them, but they run. They're very comforting on the TV, and we do other things.
But there's only a few Seinfelds I can watch anymore, because I watched every Seinfeld 43 times, and now I can't do it anymore.
I love Seinfeld. I have a visceral negative reaction to Friends. I tried to watch the Thanksgiving one. I think we were talking about it or something.
With Brad Pitt?
No, one of them where they go back, and they go back in time, and they look at their Thanksgivings. And I was like, oh, Miles, you're going to love this, and let's watch this. And I was just like, I hate this show. Like, I can't deal with Chandler. Cameron, or whatever
the first
his name is.
No, Chandler. The
Chandler
first,
Bing.
Yeah,
10 years, right? 10 years of Friends, I think. The first 3 or 4 years, really annoying. They couldn't figure out what to do with the characters. Then there's this middle section where they couldn't figure out what to do with the Ross Rachel thing. Ross couldn't be more whiny in the first 4 years. They got it right in the last 3 or 4 years. Some of the best sitcom writing. Characters were hilarious. Schwimmer as Ross was crazy nuts. If it's past what, 2000 to 2004, the golden era of Friends. Only watch those.
Okay, I'm on it.
You'll come along. That's your top six.
That's it.
That's all today for the top six at six.
No more.
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
Another helpful texter from the 630. Last year at Steve's show, I was there, White Castle, for dinner on my, pardon me, fifth wedding anniversary guy. And the person next to me had never heard of Steve. Why were they at my live live show if they'd never heard of me? Joe, do you know anything about this? Why were they at a...
It's just some guy.
They just stumbled in, some needed seats or something?
I love live shows.
I told them Steve's only annoying habit was saying, ah, after a joke that he thinks is particularly funny. It's a great show today. Need more hair jokes, Sven. Okay, Sven.
I gotta say, I pay very close attention to stuff, and I've never noticed. Now I notice it. Yeah,
a little exaggerated, possibly. It's time now for Kid of the Week. Now, how old are you?
I am 10 years old.
14.
8. 12.
I'm 18.
I'm 10 years old.
What grade are you in or about to go into?
I'm a senior.
8th grade.
Sophomore year.
Just finished junior year, so yes, I'm a senior.
I'm in 4th.
What do you do for fun?
I love art. Art is my favorite.
I do soccer, basketball, cheerleading, tennis, baseball.
I like to play on the trampoline, and I love to make slime.
I act in plays, and I sing all the time.
I also write stories because I love writing.
I play tennis. I also like to play soccer with my best buddy, but I'm not on a team.
Listen, you're a great kid. What do you want to be when you grow up?
I'm still figuring it out.
Pediatric oncologist.
I really want to be a marine biologist.
I'm not really sure yet, but I'm looking into biomechanical engineering.
I want to be an orthodontist because you can help kids feel better out their smiles.
Will you run for president someday?
I want to.
Are you excited to be on the show?
Yeah.
You sound super excited. Have you ever been more excited than this?
Yeah.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Never fail.
Gotta find that kid. We have breaking sports news before Kid of the Week. We'll get to our Kid of the Week superstar here in just a second, Dave.
Urban Meyer, the coach in Ohio State, who's guided the Buckeyes to the Rose Bowl. They won the Big Ten Championship Saturday night. Going to retire following that Rose Bowl game. The official announcement to be made, a news conference scheduled for this afternoon at Ohio State.
Health-related?
Apparently health-related. You know, he had revealed... They had this cyst, which caused severe headaches, and there have been times this year where the cameras have shown him on the sidelines in apparent physical distress, and the presumption is that's got something to do with his decision.
Any chance this is related to the lying about his assistant coach mess in the middle of the year?
I don't think it was an easy season for him because of that, but I think this sounds like it's more, it's something that had sort of been talked about as a possibility for him anyway. Mm-hmm. So maybe it all just
the young guy still
seems like a great time. Urban Meyer,
55-ish,
yeah, something like that. Yeah, that's young.
Yeah, that's young. Absolutely young. Wasn't young 20 years ago. It's way young now.
Very young. Getting younger by the day. He's 54.
54.
Yeah.
And Sandberg, you have breaking news?
It turns out Friends is staying on in through 2019, but no exact date.
Yay.
Even though the
service,
yeah, on Netflix, even though it says availability until 1/1/19, they have said it actually goes further, but they don't have a date.
Is that pressure?
They said it was a very... people took to Twitter and were very
it made
angry.
Joey sad.
So it's like
that's why
they're
keeping it. Joey was sad.
Remember when Fox was running the reruns of The Simpsons at like 5:30 and 6, and then when they tried to take it off, everyone flipped out. It's the same thing for Friends.
Why are you giving us news and telling us about the world? Give us another rerun of The Simpsons.
It says it's unclear how much longer the show will remain on Netflix, given that Warner Media, the content company now owned by AT&T that owns the rights to Friends, is planning its own direct-to-customer streaming service.
It's really killing the opportunity they may have for a reunion show because you're only young once. So at some point when they bring them back in their 60s, it's really going to be apparent. And they're all living in the same place, but it's a nursing home. Corey joins us now. And Corey, you're the kid of the week. Sorry about the delay.
It's okay. Hello.
How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I am fine. Corey, what's your last name?
Hoekstra.
And you're a senior at Homewood Flossmoor?
I am.
Dave, that's the Flying Horned Frogs at Homewood Flossmoor.
I don't believe so.
Oh,
no, Corey might know, but it's not them.
What's the nickname for your school?
Vikings.
The Vikings. Okay. What are you going to do next year, senior?
I don't know where I'm going to go, but I want to be a special ed teacher.
Well, God bless you. That's great. You started something called Respect Week at Homewood Flossmoor. Tell everybody what that is.
Respect Week is a week for the first week of March that is connected to Special Olympics, and it is used to promote respect and inclusion for everyone in the community.
Now, where's the inspiration come from?
I have been volunteering for Special Olympics since I was 6. And so I'd done a lot of work with them. And then 2 years ago, I was invited to a youth activation summit through Special Olympics. And along with one of my friends, we decided to get the ball rolling at HF and get more activities to promote the respect at our school.
One of the coolest things about you that I understand is true is that you've worked with the staff of the school and students so that every sports team includes the special education students in at least one game of the season. They get to do cool things like water boy for football, line person for field hockey, a ball kid for soccer, and they get involved, right?
Yes. We started that this year. We emailed the coaches at the end of last school year and worked with them throughout the summer to put this together. And we now have 6 or 7 sports and games that we have planned out to get the special ed students involved as well as raise money for either the special education program at HF or Special Olympics.
Corey, for that work and also for Respect Week, what's the goal for you as a senior? What as you look at all the things that you've accomplished, what was the goal and what how do you look back on that?
My goal was to get more respect in the school and more inclusion for our students with disabilities and make them feel like if they want to go out to a school event that they are comfortable and they have other friends that aren't in the special ed program and that are in the general education program that they can talk to and they don't have to be afraid that they're going to get made fun of. And I think that's come a long way in the 4 years that I've been at HF, and I'm hoping that it will continue when I leave.
When you first pitched this, was the staff at the school welcome to it, or did they have to be talked into this idea?
A lot of them were really excited to do it, and our principal, we brought the idea to her first, to make sure that she was okay with us doing all of this, and she was beyond excited and wanted to help out with every process, every step of the process.
You're an amazing young lady, and you should be very proud of what you're doing there. And on behalf of my brother Mickey, who has special needs and always wants to encourage the cause for others, this is a big deal. You know, he grew up at a time in the 60s and 70s when kids with special needs were put in a room together, and there was alleged mainstreaming, but they never really got included in anything. So what you're doing is really cool, and I'm glad to say that you were on the show.
Thank you.
And have a great... Oh, and by the way, I hope you pick a mentor that you can train into this role next year so you don't have to drop out of school, come back, and run it yourself.
Thank you.
All right, have a great day. Hold on, we have prizes for you. A good kid.
Yeah, it's pretty.
It's not an easy thing to do. Got to go to school administration, but I'd like to be the school administration. Who's going to say no to that plan?
Right.
Yeah. Andy, hold on. Include the special ed kids. No.
Andy, just to be self-aware that there's
exactly.
Even notice that they're not included. I mean, I don't know that at that age I would have been thinking, hey, these kids aren't a part of everything.
And you know, those administrators got to be thanking their lucky stars for kids like Corey.
Absolutely.
They're like, oh, we didn't think about that?
Yeah. Absolutely.
There wasn't a respect
right.
week here? Oh. Well,
it's very cool.
Corey will be gone, and the administrators will be like, thank you.
And good for Homewood Flossmore. Good for Homewood Flossmore for stepping up.
A texter from the 708. Corey Hoekstra is phenomenal. She was partnered with my Special Olympics daughter and is just an incredible young woman. Way to go, Corey. Way to go, David Dorr. Way to go, Homewood Flossmore Vikings. Woohoo. Much thanks. Katie McHugh. Family,
Katie. So. Well, that's nice to hear, too. Yeah, we know Corey's the real deal.
Yeah.
She's tremendous.
Mm-hmm.
We will open some gifts here in just a second. Won't that be fun for you? Helpful texters continue to chime in. 815. I noticed Steve says, years ago. It drives me nuts. You slowed way down for a while. I thought it was because you were called on it, but you slipped right back like anybody with a bad habit. A47, I'm a fan, but Steve totally says or after he said something witty. How do I get through stand-up if I'm doing that?
It's funny that they notice that that's where it comes, after something witty. And you're so funny that you probably all morning long we must hear a lot
in
of
stand-up.
Totally, thank you.
In stand-up, that's where you will take the towel and wipe your head.
Oh.
You know, like when you do your joke and it's a funny joke and then you take the towel. So you
imagine the size of that towel.
It's...
Do you guys know what the White Elephant gift exchange is?
What is it?
It's a participants supply one wrapped gift, usually of similar value. Gifts are placed in a central location, and you determine the order of the individuals that will take turns selecting an item. The first person opens a wrapped gift.
Oh, right.
Their turn ends. On subsequent turns, each person has the choice to either unwrap their new present or steal yours. When a person's gift is stolen, that individual can either choose another unwrapped gift, or you can steal another one from another player.
What to if we're tied on time and we have to get to the news at the top of the hour? Do we all open it once?
We all open it once.
There we go. Let's go.
Oh, crap.
This is from Goodwill. Goodwill, amazinggoodwill.com. They gave us White Elephant.
I can't open the bag. It's tied too tight.
I have bubble wrap.
Ooh, I got a C'est la vie mug, and it's got Rolos. I love Rolos. And I got some...
I think I know what this is. Is this a shake weight? Remember shake weights?
Oh, Steve got a shake weight!
Yeah, finally! Your dream come true!
Man. I feel the violence shake melting weight. Away. Somebody got me a gift.
Oh, I got drinking glasses. Awesome.
I got a stein.
Am I right about this?
Yeah, that's
it's
a
not
shake,
a shake
that's
weight.
A shake that's a shake weight. Weight, all right.
I got these a coconut-shaped... Nice. It's a Have Fun coconut-shaped bank.
It's like a piggy bank?
Yeah, like a piggy bank.
What's
and then also
on?
Some straws.
Oh, that's straws are a commodity right
so
now.
So maybe you put the drink in there and the coins.
You put the, what is that song? You put a wine in the coconut and
yeah, right.
All
the, yeah. Maybe that's
Harry Nilsson.
Oh, yours was only $1.99 at Goodwill. So you can get a lot of White Elephant gifts at Goodwill.
What'd you get, Dave?
AmazingGoodwill.com.
I got a turkey cannon, the best way to roast chickens or turkey.
Oh, wow.
And this
that
cool,
looks for the grill.
Right? The picture has the turkey on the grill. And this was just $2.99.
You know what that looks like? That looks like when people put a beer can on the chicken,
like
but now
chicken.
That's yeah,
yeah.
But that's
except
like
it's turkey.
A turkey cannon.
It would have been great if they wiped this down, but you know, whatever.
But hey, you can't. You're just gonna sweat when you do those shake weight anyway.
It's got a certain tackiness to it that's making me uncomfortable.
AmazingGoodwill.com.
So, General John Borling's going to join us soon. General, can I interest you in a shake weight?
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm amazed that you guys go through your Christmas presents, because today is officially the Santa List Day.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. So if you're naughty or nice, you know, this today is when you write it all down. And
it's a big day for Santa.
Yeah.
Have you written
your guys
list?
I felt a little left out here, but, you know, you guys got these wonderful bags. I got a hug from Mary, so that counts.
Well, it's a pretty good deal, but you and I have been friends for a while. How about a shake weight?
A shake weight, huh?
Yeah,
well,
there you go.
You're right. We should wipe it down.
General, I have I got a wonderful bald Eagle Stein here. Beer Stein. This would be perfect
really
for you if you'd like it.
Yeah. Shake weight down.
Shake weight fell.
Yeah, you can steal the gift, so go ahead.
I'm stealing that shake weight.
Coming up, Stories of Matter from Steve Grzanich in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio.
We are going to turn Secret Santa into Yankee Swap.
The Steve Cochran Show.
720 WGN, Steve Cochran Show, with you till 10 o'clock. Always great to have General John Borling in studio with us. The bicentennial for the state of Illinois was last night. The big party at Navy Pier, and he's in town for that. Good to see you, General.
Thanks very much. Good to be with you guys.
So, how was the party? We understand that Rauner and Pritzker love each other now. That sort of shocked me, but good for them.
There was a real display of unity last night. I think they used to mutual advantage, not only to themselves, but frankly to the state, and the city and state, if you will. And it was very well received. It looked very genuine. I talked to JB and I talked to Governor Rauner as well. At some length, and in fact talked about SOS America, something which is...
And I want to talk to you about that today as well.
My bête noire. But at the end of the evening, you know, Buddy Guy tore the place apart, and there was lots of stuff there, and I was pleased to see a coming together, if you will.
Right.
You know, you're funky. You got the funk in you. I'm not sure that that Pritzker and Rauner did they enjoy Buddy Guy, or were they doing the white guy snap?
I'm not sure I'm the most credible judge of rhythm and blues.
Listen, you were there, I wasn't.
No, I got laughed out of the Playboy Club as a young guy playing the piano up in the library on the second floor in the old Playboy Club.
Yeah.
And I was playing Jesus Loves Me. It wasn't going over real well. And so you know,
your room.
After the first part, Mary knows the song. Well, then the bass and drums cut in. We were swinging with big Brubeck kind of chords, swinging Jesus Loves Me. And this is appropriate for the Advent season. And this blonde heckled me so badly, and would give me the old Chicago raspberry. And
so you were shamed out of the Playboy Club.
I was shamed out of the library at the Playboy Club. I decided to become a fighter pilot instead of a jazz pianist.
Well, things work out, don't they?
Well, I married the blonde.
That's right. It all worked out.
It all worked out.
How is your family? Everybody good?
We're happy. I failed Thanksgiving.
What'd you do?
Oh, I thought I had executive capacities.
Yeah.
I put up every inhibition I could think of at Thanksgiving. But they're all coming back at Christmas.
Who hosted?
The family, and with reinforcements, you know.
Right, so you had backups.
I failed. They're going to return. And,
you failed in that you did too good of a job, and
the
now
last,
they're coming back.
You know, drop of... whatever I have last dropped.
Are you the carver? Did you carve the turkey?
Oh, yeah, I cook and carve, sure.
Sure?
Yeah, we're going to have prime rib.
Well, where was the failure?
Pardon me? Well,
where was the failure?
The
failure is that he did it too well, so they're coming
good,
back.
So they're coming back.
I'm used to hearing this from Sandberg. I'm not used to hearing this from you.
Early in the morning, you know, is what it is.
You should have burnt the green bean casserole and then be like,
I've got this, let's do something fun at Christmas, like we'll go out and march barefoot in the snow.
Yeah.
And I'll help them.
Tell you a quick story. Our mutual friend Mark Slaby was going to host Pat Brady and I and you.
For golf.
To play golf. This is mid to late October, and you remember how nasty October was. So Saturday night before the Sunday morning tea time, I call Slaby. I go, man, the weather does not look good. I said, I don't know, dude. I think we should reschedule this. And he goes, well, it's in October. We're getting late in the year. And in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, General Borling, serving time as a POW and doing the great service he's done to America. How's he going to take it's too chilly for me to play golf?
But you don't play below 50.
I took it graciously and canceled along with the rest of you wimps. But then went back channel, as you know.
I do know. And you guys ended up playing.
Mark Sleeper, we ended up playing. It was a pretty good day. Yeah.
Pat Brady and I were the wimps that didn't. But
how about that? Yeah. Missed that opportunity.
So it's
a little chilly.
I guess in the big picture, I appreciate the fact that you're here, even though you no longer have any respect for me. And by the way, why should you?
I have enormous respect for you.
No, you shouldn't. You shouldn't. I want to talk about SOS, but I also want to talk about a couple of other things, including President George H.W. Bush.
Ah, yes.
A fellow war hero. And at 7:17, we'll come back and do that in just a second.
The Steve Cochran Show.
Time for the most valuable person on the planet. We're going to get to this hero in just a second, but it's kind of Heroes Week here as we salute the life and the service of George H.W. Bush, President Bush. General Borling, I assume you've crossed paths with him in the past?
We did. Obviously, was on active duty when he was president. We were using a term, and I certainly don't want to say anything pejorative about President George Herbert Walker Bush, because I thought he was a steady hand on the throttle. Mm-hmm. But remember, we were talking about wimps earlier, that he was classified as a, quote, wimp president. And yet, I think both at the time, in my judgment anyway, and certainly in retrospect, I mean, this was a guy who served the nation admirably. Think of all the things he did.
It was incredible.
Yeah. I mean, ambassador to China, head of the CIA. He had a great sense of humor. That line about his role as the vice president, you know, if they die, I fly, because he was the official representative at all the funerals. But it's an amazing American family, obviously. And I served in the Ford administration.
Yep.
But close up in the White House, did not do that, but was supporting the president in the nuclear chain of command business, because that decision tree, when it is exercised and when the nation relies upon it, did start a Strategic Air Command and headquarters at Omaha, and I was the head of operations there, and the calls would go into the Secretary of Defense and directly into the White House.
Sure.
To
you would
exercise
help, right?
That. Yeah, absolutely. And then, as I say, the steady hand on the throttle.
Well, you think about what happened. I talked about this a little bit yesterday, but he takes the office of the presidency, Tiananmen Square happens.
Yeah.
And he has a balanced approach to China. You know, you're not going to start a war with China, but you're also not going to sit back and take it. So there were some repercussions for China economically because of that in maintaining our relationship. So he showed nice balance there. The Soviet Union falls, the Berlin Wall falls. If he goes over there, as his colleague suggested, and does a little touchdown dance on the wall, he makes it worse for Germany and the new Germany, and he makes it worse for Russia as opposed to the new Soviet Union, and therefore messes the whole thing up. He had the foresight to stay out of it. He didn't need to go say, how great am I?
Yeah, exactly. I was fortunate to be in Berlin the year the wall went up, and was there the year of the wall.
Oh, you're kidding.
That it was going to take a world war to bring it down, and it did. It took a war of the human spirit.
Right, and I just think he was an incredibly underrated president, and I think this week he may be starting to get his due from all the tributes that are coming up.
Well, you got time for a quick story?
Absolutely.
I was standing in base operations of Andrews Air Force Base, the protocol area, waiting for an airplane to take me back to Offutt, which is the headquarters of Strategic Air Command.
Okay.
And I'm startled because a dog runs across my feet.
Okay.
And I give it kind of a nudge, more out of a reflex action than certainly not trying to hurt the dog, but I gave it a nudge.
Sure.
Not a boot, just a nudge.
Just a little nudge,
And exclaimed, you know, what the hell's a dog doing? And, you know, protocol place it. And this voice comes in from my left. Oh, that's my dog. And I turn around and I say, oh, Mrs. Bush. I said, if you'll excuse me now, I'm going to go out in the parking lot and stab myself in the heart. But we had a long and friendly talk, because we had a Millie at that time.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, so I went back to the headquarters, and I happened to mention this to my boss, Jack Chain, the commander-in-chief of Strategic Air Command, and the Bushes were due at Offutt in 2 weeks.
Okay.
He sent me to Minot, North Dakota on temporary duty for the Bush visit.
I don't want you near the dog.
But he made the mistake of putting Myrna, and my wife, in the receiving line. Okay. You know, that blonde I told you about?
I've met your lovely wife, and she's not to be messed with.
And she wheels up to Barbara Bush, and she says, "I'm sorry, my husband kicked your dog."
Oh, Myrna, you're not helping.
No, they had a great talk about Millie's and everything else over lunch. So that's
well, you mentioned the sense of humor. And the sense of humor, I think, is one of the things that got them through an awful lot in life after losing their little girl and then through the incredible career that she supported. It was amazing. They're an amazing family.
They are. And there's a guy that a lot of people have forgotten, shouldn't. His name is Andy Card. Andrew Card, sure. Who was chief of staff for the Bushes. In the course of being a White House fellow, we would have a lot of dealings with Andy, and he would give us stories. But it was anybody who was hanging around Washington over the years knew that Barbara Bush had an inordinate influence on the family. She was both the encourager, the analyzer. She was also the disciplinarian, if you will. She was a gracious but tough lady.
Yeah, and extremely bright, and I know she advised him and never asked to take credit for any of it.
The Bushes, for example, would start their day by reading about a half a dozen papers in bed together over coffee and discussing things back
and
that?
Forth. Yeah. Let's meet another hero. Jazz Booth is on the phone right now. Good morning, Jazz.
Good morning.
Is it okay if I call you Jazz?
Yes, it's definitely fine.
And I appreciate that. A little bit of a background here. A disabled Army vet, cancer survivor, public speaker, gave over 17 years of service to this great nation. Of course, as you would guess, that continues. 2005, you're a single parent in the Army Reserves in New Orleans. That spring, you learned you'd be deployed to Iraq during the mobilization. Two significant things happened. You lost everything you had in Hurricane Katrina. And the very next month in September, you were diagnosed with an aggressive head, neck, back, and throat cancer, and you were now unable to deploy. You didn't know what you were going to do to support your family. And in the process of all this, you found there were no existing programs for female veterans. As you went through that process and eventually were able to pull yourself out of it because of your own strength, you decided, I got to do something. So in 2010, you organized an organization and founded an organization called what?
Final Salute.
And what is the goal of Final Salute?
Our mission is to provide homeless women veterans and their children with safe and suitable housing.
And there really wasn't anything like this, was there?
No, I ended up sleeping on my aunt's couch. There were no existing supportive housing services when I went through my situation with my young son, who is now 23, serving in the Air Force and deployed to Afghanistan.
Oh, God bless.
Thank you.
Final Salute has assisted over 5,000 women, vets, and children in over 30 states and territories. I can't imagine you had any idea it was going to get this big this fast.
You know, I had no idea. Also, when I started, I didn't know that women veterans were the fastest growing homeless population in America, and over 70% of that population are single moms. So we have so much work to do as a nation, but I'm just glad as a former soldier to be able to do my part and to never leave a fallen comrade.
General Borling, say hi to Jazz.
Jazz, John Borling here. Let me add words of gratitude and praise for what you're doing. And it's tough out there, and the fact that you have accomplished so much, your list of awards is amazing. So I would just say continue to march, and we wish you the very best in this holiday season.
And by the way, he's a general, so he outranks you. So when he says continue to march, you have to. You know that, Jess.
We go hand in hand, arm in arm on this thing. John Borling, and I've got a little veterans group, too. We're called SOS America. And maybe I'll follow up with you because I like your spirit, like your energy, like what you've accomplished.
That's great. Final Salute.
Thank you very much, sir.
FinalSaluteInc.org. Your son was obviously impressed with his mom enough to be inspired to join the service himself. And you say he's doing well?
Yes, he's doing great. He's a maintainer in the Air Force, which means he works on aircraft, but couldn't remember to do monthly changes. We'll do the rotations on his oil change on his car, and his engine blow up. So that's a little scary.
Oh, come on, son. It's not high school.
Well, you know, I was Army. He is in an Air Force. So in his defense, you know, we always tease the Air Force. So it's just par for the course.
Now, be careful. General Borling's here.
I think there's a healthy competition is the way I would put it.
Jazz. Well, it's funny because my husband's a Marine, so he gets teased too.
Oh, well, we got it all covered, don't we?
Well, we do. I was sorry to hear about the Marine Library. Didn't we talk about that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
The one that burned down?
Right.
And both of the books were burned.
Both the books are gone.
That's right.
Share that with your husband. Sabra Glassford.
Jazz, how do people access this service if they know somebody, a homeless female veteran that needs the service?
They can go to our site, www.finalsaluteinc.org. We're also on Facebook and Twitter.
Final Salute, finalsaluteinc.org. I know your favorite thing is not talking about yourself, but I'm glad you did, and you're a very impressive individual with an impressive list of accomplishments, as the general said. And all I would just ask is for the good of the rest of us, keep it up.
Thank you. We'll do.
All right. There you go. Finalsaluteinc.org. That's Jazz.
Impressive.
How about that?
Very impressive, yeah.
Hits the bottom, doesn't know what she's going to do, and a few years later starts an organization that's saving, really saving lives of single moms and female vets. Take a quick break, come back with some headlines, and then I want to talk to the general about SOS America and about the state of the world and whether or not he's still talking to me. But first, this on 720 WGN.
In our hearts, we know what matters. We cannot hope only to leave our children a bigger car, a bigger bank account. We must hope to give them a sense of what it means to be a loyal friend, a loving parent, a citizen who leaves his home, his neighborhood, and town better than he found it.
President George H.W. Bush, we certainly hope he's not the last great Republican because the party needs to survive and thrive in the same way the Democrats do as well. But Bush had a sense of honor that does seem to be missing today, and somebody who's truly understood the importance of having the job of president, not being an owner of the White House or an owner of the job. So we continue to pay tribute. General John Borling is here. Service over self, America, is something that you're very passionate about, and once you explained it to me, I am as well. I think it's a wonderful idea. So let's start there. What is it?
At the end of the day, it's about nation building in America. The contention is, as you well know, Steve, that we prosper as a nation, we sustain ourselves as a nation because of shared experiences and shared values. Mm-hmm. And all of this talk that seems so divisive, and in fact the reporting and the constant hammering of the divisions in America rather than that which brings us together,
sure,
has been concerning for a long time. There's a book written by Jonah Goldberg called Suicide of the West, and he mm-hmm. said every generation is invaded by barbarians. Here in America,
right,
we call them children, and the idea is that we've got to mold, shape, provide guidelines so that the next generations pick up the burdens of keeping America the way it is, the freedoms to drive from Naperville to Chicago without worrying about the cops,
right,
stopping
show me your papers
and that kind of stuff, the things that we've earned over a couple of hundred years of this great American experiment. Well, that's preamble to the notion that of the institutions in America that are always seemingly under attack. One of the institutions, that, in fact, the most highly regarded institution, is the military.
Yep.
People have trust in and believe in kind of a moral repository for the nation, despite the fact that, you know, military guys stub their toes just like everybody else.
Everybody's human.
Yeah. But SOS America argues that everyone ought to be able to have a military experience if there's a need for it. The problem is that only about 20% of America can qualify physically and mentally for entry into the military, assuming there was room for that amount. And everybody wants that same cohort of people, the people that are
the best and the brightest and the most fit
and physically fit.
Right.
But you've met this guy a thousand times, and we've talked about this. The guy who said, "Gee, I wish I'd spent some time in the military."
Yeah.
Gee, I'd, you know, I think my, and then he says, "Oh, my uncle or my father was." Is this
son? I'm one of them.
Yeah. So SOS America argues that sometime between 18 and 26, every young man and every, unless exempted, and every young woman who wants to volunteer should be able to come into the military for 1 year in a special program into a unit of 100 and maintain that small unit identity and then augment the all-volunteer force by going out to the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marine Corps, Guard, Reserve, federal agencies, state agencies that have need of person power. And after a year of service in the military, people are going to come out, especially the young men, and they're going to have that badge that says, hey, I served.
Exactly.
I did something that was of value, and it'll carry them for a lifetime.
It's the type of thing that most of the free world does, but they do it in a more of a compulsory way, and you have to do 2 years, 3 years, well, 4 years, whatever, but you reinvest in your own country, in your own nation.
Nation building in America.
And the benefits are endless.
Well, and it's going to. This is not going to be point of the spear stuff. This is going to be in support roles principally.
Sure.
And it's going to be on demand. And we're not going to force something down the throats of the Air Force or the Navy. You got to forecast how many of these companies you would use. But just imagine if you had a body of folks like this, and it's going to take legislation, or if you need to move people to the border, or you've got a natural disaster, or you got forest fires, you got all kinds of things.
Help is always needed.
It's WPA, triple C kind of stuff. Yep. It's nation building again.
At this point, the way that we use military for those kind of things for humanitarian issues, you see a lot of reserves being called up. Is it similar in that the idea of the reserves?
It would be a pool of manpower that would be available to be able to be deployed principally domestically.
Yeah.
I mean, here in the United States. And while the tasks that they will do will be valuable, I mean, you can't have them doing crummy things that are have no meaning. I mean, you're going to be doing things that are important to the nation and important to the military, as well as to, as I say, federal and state agencies. But they're going to do so in the confines of a small unit where geography will be mixed. You know, somebody from Chicago is going to meet St. Louis, going to meet San Diego, going to meet different people of different ages. Were you different at 20 than you were at 18 or 23? Of course you were. No, there's a lot of growing up that happens, and a lot of people grow up in the military.
Yeah, a friend of mine has a theory that every 5 years you change half a life. And I don't doubt that that's true if you think about your basic splits in life and who you were and who you are now. One of the things I think is most appealing about it is in a time where we have great love, affection, and admiration for those who serve, most of us don't even connect to the fact that we've been in a war for 18 years in Afghanistan, and that there are those serving around the world on our behalf who, while we appreciate them, really on a level that maybe we haven't since World War II ended, I don't know that we understand the importance of doing this. And I love the idea. And frankly, I wish it had been around before. But there's a political hurdle you got to get over. And I want to talk about that when we come back.
Okay.
So we'll do that in just a moment.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
My friend General John Borling is here. Service Over Self, America is SOSAmerica, .org. All right, so let's talk about the politics of this. If the idea that 18 to 26-year-old men and women could serve a year in the military with all the associated benefits with it, not on the front of a current battle, but in support positions of meaning that could change their lives, give them friends for life, connections that could lead to jobs and careers, knowledge that they don't now have, all of those positives that come from it, you would guess that the only thing that could get in the way with that would be Washington.
That is the only thing that gets in the way of it. We've got a growing national membership base. People can sign up, although we're changing the rules of signing up and membership. We're going to have just two levels of membership. Basic membership, it's going to be $10 a year, or actually $9 a year. And then if you want to be a sustaining member, it's $9 a month. So
That's very fair.
And then for the guys that want to get into the executive level, they can, you know, give us the huge sustaining
corporate effort. Sponsors are welcome.
Absolutely. And we're changing the whole website by the first of the year, www.sosamerica.org. And we're ramping up the advisory board. You know what the Supreme Allied Commander is?
Sure.
Well, we have Sack Lant is also Supreme Allied Commander Atlantic. Jack Sheehan, General Sheehan, Marine, is going to be the head of the advisory board. Here in town, Rick Mancuso from Lake Forest Sports Cars has signed it. Howard Ecker from Howard Ecker company, the tenant representation company, the guy who knows everybody in town, and people from around the country are now flocking to bolster, if you will, the credentials of SOS America so we can go to Washington
and make the case. And so look at the support we have. Now, there's a question from a texter. What is the difference between college ROTC and a one-year program like this?
Well, college ROTC, number one, has you in the physical and mental track and qualifications to go into the active duty military, and you will do so if you complete ROTC program as an officer candidate.
OTC officer training.
Right. Yeah. So, and that's a 3 or 4 or 5 year plus commitment. A lot of people don't want to give that amount of time. So this one-year approach of serving your country and have done something meaningful is really appealing. And we've done a lot of national polling back and forth about, you know, who supports it, who doesn't support
right.
it, and have been encouraged by especially people who, like you, are, you know, barely over 50, and me.
Plus seven.
And me.
Yeah.
You know, there's a tremendous wellspring of support in the cohort 50 plus.
Sure.
And then you get down into the childbearing years of people who are 26 to 50. Drops off a little bit, but still a majority view, unless something really crazy is going on. Yeah.
General, I'm fascinated by this, and I know we've talked about this before, and I think it's an awesome idea. It seems like what we just saw with the military going to the border, right? And this idea of this militarization, this idea of tear gas and guns and this idea of weaponry, it seems like what you're talking about here is, when you talk about nation building, it almost has to remove that part, because we've seen, when you try to create communities, and we've seen this in different minority communities in our country, where police militarize. There's this idea that militarize means weapon up. This idea that there's all these sort of things to control or maintain law and order. But what you're talking about is, seems like this would be a better solution for those kinds of situations.
I won't preclude any kind of activity, because these people are going to be in the military, but the anticipation with only a year, and with the training going to be taking place in these units, and the experience that you will have, it's almost like joining a fraternity kind of thing. People like to be associated with something meaningful. So I don't anticipate that many of these people would even see a gun, much less
right.
carry a gun. But we're not going to rule anything out. If you're in the military, yeah. So the reality is that the scenes that are drummed up by the military, or the scenes that are drummed up by the media, I should say, down at the border, are always looking for some kind of scene to exploit. You know, the waif of the week, or the mother with the child, rather than the kind of the total story.
Oh,
looking
right.
for that hook. Well, the hook for SOS America, to get back to it quickly,
sure.
Steve, is just nation building in America, and www.sosamerica.org. We need lots of members. We do have to get the legislation, and we're going to keep marching.
Well, you got to keep marching. Before
yeah.
I let you go, a couple of things to bring up in regards to this. What if somebody is 18 to 26 and they're emotionally just not up to this, or physically not up
they
to
have,
this?
It's okay. As long as they can physically and mentally take care of themselves, they will have entry of the program. They're not going to have to run the mile in 11 minutes. They're not going to have to do five push-ups or five
pull-ups.
This
is not some force thing we're going to come to your house and drag in.
No. And there is, unless you're exempted, and we're going to exempt people that are married. First responders are
yep.
going to get exempted.
Yep.
We're going to have the doctor and medical
categories.
Dental tracks. Those are all going to be contributing members of the society. The idea is to bring us together with shared values and common experiences, and somehow to affect a positive movement forward with respect to regard for, care for, shepherding, if you will, the great American experiment that's lasted so long, and we got to keep working to make it last.
And so many people who end up in the military through the years, and General David Grange comes to mind, end up making a career out of it. So if they were in this program for a year, ideally, would they be able to fast-track their way into a military career, or do they go through the normal process?
If there were qualifications that existed, and they were able to, and there was need in the military, certainly you could do that. We are going to provide an educational stipend.
Mm-hmm.
Currently, you can't get in the military if you don't have a high school diploma or a GED.
Mm-hmm.
We'll make sure that not an inhibitor for us. We'll try to, if an illegal alien wants to join up, we would argue as part of the legislation that if they serve honorably for a year, automatic citizenship after they've done that job. And if you got a low order beef with the police, I think hardcore felons, that'll be a little, they're not going to be in the.
Yeah.
But if you got a lower order beef, your record will be expunged.
Right.
If you come up. The old thing about you go before the judge, he says, well, it's time to take your military service on.
Right.
And
it's not just a TV show. It could really happen.
And this would be an avenue, sure.
It's great to see you, and you know how much I support this, and well, I'm trying to find something I don't support in your world. It's SOSAmerica.org. You can help in a ton of different ways, including just joining for $9 if you choose, or $9 a month if you choose more. Certainly you bigwigs running around town with a whole bunch of money, we'd love to have you write a check. SOSAmerica.org, and I hope you'll keep us up to date where you're going with this.
We will. Always a pleasure to be with you. Happy holidays to you and all the vast listening audience out there.
Merry Christmas.
Starts their day with the Steve Cochran
Show. Yeah, there you go. Merry Christmas. Right. Thank you,
thanks,
sir.
General.
Coming back with the news in just a second. And by the way, that's from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on 720 WGN Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world,
some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, honey, you know I love you more than
it's Moron Entertainment, and Dean Richards will appear live on New Year's Eve.
Testing.
With other morons.
Testing, 1, 2.
When we are all in Downers Grove at the beautiful Tivoli Theater for New Year's Eve.
Testing, 1, 2.
Go to eventbrite.com. And by the way, that's all Dean's going to do at New Year's Eve show. He's just going to tap on the mic.
Check, 1. Check, 2.
Check.
Not annoying at all.
They disconnected everything here in my little broadcast center.
Why is that?
Well, you know, we've been talking about the...
Sending you a message?
The big media story of the year that we've put in new carpeting in our newsroom. And last night they put in the new carpeting in my area, but that meant disconnecting all the computers and everything. So I've been getting one surprise after another all morning.
That's got to make everybody put in a good mood when things don't work.
Especially in the land of 1,000 divas there at Channel 9. Oh, good God, that's got to be weird.
Larry couldn't find his number 2 powder this morning.
Why was everything out of place?
Well, they put everything back in its place, but they
didn't know what the place was?
You know, there's a lot of wires involved in this whole thing. I don't know if you've noticed that in a broadcast station.
That's why I'm not welcome here. I don't even notice the wires. Actually, I depend on, I think, you know, Bill Murdoch here. He's the only normal engineer I've ever met. And by the way, I put normal in quotes. I don't know anything. You know, it's not like Thanksgiving where I pretend not to know how to do stuff so I don't get asked to help. Here, I actually don't know how to do anything. 38 years in, and I don't know how to do anything.
Well, it's a good, I guess it's a good thing. They had to completely take apart our cubicles and all of the equipment and, you know, stuff on the downside, you know, putting it all back together. But on the plus side, I finally found my passes to the Kathy and Judy convention from 1993.
Well, it's going to be a good time. I'm glad you're going to be able to make it.
I'm a girlfriend.
Oh, hey, speaking of Kathy and Judy, what's the most annoying thing about me, Dean?
There's nothing annoying about you.
Well, it turns out there is. Earlier this morning, this came up casually in conversation.
No, I want to hear him guess.
Oh, yeah, well, that's a great point.
Steve, all morning.
That's a great
How
point.
Much time do we have for this segment today?
That's a great point. Do you have one that jumps to mind? And by the way, just one.
No, honestly, I really can't.
Choose wisely.
Yeah, because here's what came up. And when I say something that I think is funny, I immediately follow it with
Well, that's your stand-up comedian training, though, isn't
it? Yeah, it's a timing thing. It's a beat thing. Yeah. But apparently I do it all the time.
I have never noticed that.
Let's see if it comes up during the segment.
I've never noticed that.
Now it's gotten real Chicago-y.
I noticed that you did that.
Dean, once he read the text online, Leo was the first texter that sent that note in.
Oh, a listener.
Then a barrage of listeners started agreeing, and they all started saying he always does it after a joke.
Yeah, something. And by the way, many of them said this. When Steve says something he thinks is funny.
Yeah, that was what they said.
That's the stand-up comedian
It's a dick. It's a timing thing.
It's a timing thing in case there's not a laugh that you're like patting. I get that.
It's weird because I used to just bark, you know, and I thought that turned out weird. Like I'd say something I think was funny, and I'd go, You know, that's not a good thing.
Yeah.
That's just disturbing.
I guess if I had to pick one thing, it's how you slap me on the butt whenever you see me.
Well, it's all about being on a team, Dave.
That's a little annoying.
It's a teammate thing. Right. Yeah, we can go back.
Stick it out a little bit. Like, what?
We can go back to the towel snapping if you want, but I thought that was awkward.
Yeah.
All right, so Eddie Murphy now has 114 children.
10 children Eddie Murphy has. He just had a new baby boy yesterday with his fiance.
I think he and I are the exact same. We see when Eddie Murphy's birthday is. I think we're exactly the same age. By the way, I had two. 10 kids now with how many different women?
10 kids. Well, several. I think it's...
He's 57, Steve. You're correct.
Yeah. When's his birthday?
April 3rd.
April 3rd. So he's 2 weeks younger than me.
Very close to you.
Well, what kind of success has he had?
Very close to you. 10 children. The new one is a little boy. His fiance's name is Paige Butcher, by the way. This is their second child together. New baby's named Maxwell Charles.
Okay.
Middle name after his brother Charlie Murphy, who passed away last year.
Is there a chance that he could start repeating names, you know, if he doesn't remember everybody?
Yeah, I guess so.
Kanye West in the news.
Oh, this is a fantastic story. Did you see the Cher musical when it was here?
Did not.
Last summer?
Didn't.
I did.
It got tepid reviews at best. It felt like a show that still needed some work before it went to Broadway.
That was one of my favorite Cher songs. Remember Tepid? That was
tepid,
a big hit.
Tepid, Tramps, and
Thieves. Did Dave Bennett? Dave, you said you saw it. What was your review?
I thought it was pretty good.
Could you sing any of the numbers from the show, Dave?
If I could turn back time.
Ready?
I could turn back.
3, 2, 1, go. I counted down instead of up.
Okay. Do you have that outfit, that Cher outfit, when she's on the battle?
Like three Cher's.
That X cross thing that covers up her coot?
As a youngster watching MTV, I was like,
That was a big deal. Yeah. That was your Sears catalog.
Dial MTV was my Sears catalog.
That was pretty racy.
All right, so what happened to Kanye?
Well, sassy.
Most of the reviews were kind of tepid coming out of New York yesterday, so it doesn't sound like things have changed that much. But the big story is that Kanye West and Kim Kardashian go for a lovely night of the theater in New York last night. They go to the opening night of the Cher musical. And apparently Kanye was on his mobile phone for most of the show, so much that the actor who plays Sonny Bono in the show, Jared Spector, really nice guy, we interviewed him several times when he was here, he tweets out during intermission, hey, Kanye, we're doing a show here. Would you mind putting your phone down? The internet went crazy last night over this. People saying, "Yeah, put your phone down. Do you mind?" So Kanye responded overnight by tweeting out, "The dynamics of Cher and Sonny's relationship made Kim and I grab each other's hand and sing, 'I got you, I got you, babe.'"
Right after I tweeted one last time.
"Please pardon my lack of etiquette. We have so much appreciation for the energy you guys put into making this masterpiece."
Well, good for him.
So
yeah, good for him. That's
sort of apologize.
It's an upscale way of handling it, I suppose.
Yeah,
but he didn't have to break the fourth wall and go, "Hey, excuse me for a second. I know we're in the middle of a play. Hey, Kanye, put the phone down."
But you know how many times, Dean, I'm in a theater and somebody's looking at their phone. If I had, I just don't have their Twitter handle to shame them
all the time. It happens. I see it in movie theaters.
So how do you handle
it? Put your phones down.
Well, they did it because everyone's got their eyeball. I would say to the Cher actor, pay attention to the show as opposed to an eyeball on Kanye.
Yeah, he's doing distracting though, right?
Well, he's such a celebrity. He didn't do it obviously while he was on the stage, but Kanye and Kim must have been up close enough that it was distracting to the actors, because normally you can't even really see the audience with the lights on.
Right.
That's true. They must have been first couple of rows.
As a person who sometimes obsesses about things, when something catches my eye that is bothersome to me, I cannot let it go until it's rectified. So I empathize with that actor.
Remember Cher's song, Rectified? That was a terrific song.
My guess is that someone said, "Oh my God, Kanye's here." And then they all were peeking through a little curtain in the back when they weren't on stage. What's he doing now? What's Kanye doing?
He's on the phone.
I'm going to tweet him.
He's on the phone
all the time.
Second act, he's on the phone.
If it's just for a second, You know, someone glances at their phone, I don't say anything, even though it's annoying because the light of the phone is annoying. But if it goes on forever and if it's happening a lot through a play or a movie, I will lean over and say, would you mind turning that off? Because
it's distracting.
The light is really distracting. And nine times out of ten, they apologize. And every once in a while, I get the, who are you, old man?
You know, I find it more annoying when people try to hide the fact that they're doing it. And they can't hide the fact that they're doing it because it's dark and it's a light. And how do I know that? Well, that's what I do. I try to hide the fact that I'm checking my phone.
Right.
And I don't do it in a play, but I've done it in a movie many times.
Yeah, do the hide. We'll look. Real quick look.
And you're scrunched over for no reason in your seat, and there's a beam of light coming straight up between your hands.
I think it's appropriate if you don't take it out of your pocket for guys, where you just kind of take it out just a little bit.
Yeah.
Take a look and then put it right back.
How's that? They go to great lengths, though, to
step out. Why don't you just step out of the theater for a second if you're that important? Step out.
That's a long walk. Yeah, you're right. But why hasn't Amazon invented a product for this? The product where only you could see it, like the NFL referees in the middle of replay?
Night vision glasses.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. More coming up with Dean in just a second. Stand by, Dean. This is more on entertainment, as you know.
You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richard. Entertainment editor, channel
9720. I want to make sure I get to this sound that you sent this morning, Dean. So we'll just say this. There's a Hootie reunion tour with Queens coming to Chicago. The Queen or Queen, a band?
Two of the originals of Queen. The remaining two from Queen. Brian May and Roger Taylor getting together with Adam Lambert, and they're going to be going on tour this summer, August 9th at the United Center. Tickets go on sale Friday.
I think the actual Queen should step down and join the Queen band. I think that'd be cool.
And now I'll sing a song for you.
Another one bites the dust. Another one bites the dust.
But the other big music news, Hootie and the Blowfish, that have not played together for 10 years, they are getting together for a tour and an album next year.
Wow.
Hollywood Casino Amphitheater in Tinley Park, August 24th next year, with the Bare Naked Ladies as the opening act. And I mean actual Bare Naked Ladies.
Not
the group.
Thought it was the band.
Tickets for that also will go on sale on Friday.
Aquaman?
Aquaman is Jason Momoa. Mm-hmm. Are you familiar with him?
I am, actually.
Game of Thrones, and he was Conan the Barbarian. And the remake of that movie, very handsome man, Stargate Atlantis. Now with his own movie coming out, Aquaman, that'll be out on December 21st. So talked to the whole cast of Aquaman over the weekend. Saw the movie, by the way, and enjoyed it. I'll tell you more about it as we get a little closer to it. But, you know, I was wondering what, you know, the big strapping muscular Jason Momoa, you know, if he was even into Christmas. You know, what the holidays were like for him. If you're Aquaman, you know, what is Christmas like for you?
Talk to me a little bit about what Christmas was like for Jason growing up.
Growing up, just my mom. It was just her and I. We would have, I think the most special thing of all was Christmas Eve, because she worked three jobs and she would save enough money and we would have a steak dinner. And we would have shrimp. So it would be steak and shrimp and we would listen to, and I still do, Barbra Streisand.
Really?
Barbra Streisand Christmas album. And I think it's like a 70s Christmas album of hers, but it's very...
I know exactly which one you mean.
The Ava Maria and everything. Yeah. And,
that funky jingle bell.
Yeah, she does. Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell. So now my kids love it. And but that's something very special to me. It's that album and steak and shrimp with my mom, and that was like her Christmas Eve dinner, and then get to bed early and then wake up and then just watch Christmas movies and Wonderful Life and all the great Christmas movies.
Well, somebody told me Aquaman was going to be singing Barbra Streisand's version of Jingle Bells to me today.
That's the thing, is like people don't know me. They're like, oh, you're superhero. I'm like, I was raised by a single woman who
I like it,
who you know, raised me on Rear Window and Gone with the Wind.
That's,
you know, awesome. I wasn't watching Conan the Barbarian.
You know? How many of you have had superheroes sing Barbra Streisand Jingle Bells to you?
Yeah, right.
You're the only one in America, I believe, and it's 6'4" tall and about 230 pounds. Who better than him? Who's going to make fun of him?
That was the best part, is this gigantic man sitting in front of me.
Jingle Bells, Jingle Bells. He's got the little facial motions while he's doing it.
It's tremendous. By the way, we can take this up another time, but you hear hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times of people going, I was with a single mom, and we had nothing, and eventually they become a star. I want you to find me somebody that goes, look, we were loaded as kids. I had nothing, but I just had it completely easy. And
they're out there. I'm sure Dean's
met wrapped
them.
Our presents in $100 bills.
Yeah. All right, see you later.
See ya.
That's Dean. We're back with the headlines in a moment on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
Here come the Hawks.
Here come the Hawks. The mighty Hawks.
It's the coach, Jeremy Colliton. And coach, there's a lot of cliches in sports, as you know. Let me throw a few at you here. Someday we'll look back at this and laugh. You know, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And I call me the optimist here, but I just have a feeling any minute now the breakout happens and the Hawks go on a run. And I hope you're feeling the same way.
Well, I hope. I'm glad you stopped there because I didn't want you to steal all my lines. But, it's true, though. It's true, though. We're going to get through this, and it's an opportunity to build some mental toughness so that when you face adversity, you know you've been through a difficult time and you came through it, and it'll make the group stronger.
You know, because of your age, you relate on a different level, I think, than a lot of people do. So does Taves take on a different role as captain in regards to, you know, keeping the guys focused and all those things? What does he do in a circumstance like this?
Well, I think they all do. The guys who've been around, it's you know, whether they want it or not, they have, you know, they carry a heavy load. And the younger guys are going to take their cues off the guys who've won before and have played a lot of games in the league. And so it's important that they come in with the right mentality, and we're trying to build that, you know, relentless, never give up way of approaching every day. And they're a big part of that.
You've had a couple of games since we last spoke where you kind of put yourself in a hole early. It happened against Winnipeg. It happened the other night in Nashville, 4 goals in the first. Does that become, Jeremy, the priority now to avoid getting off to those kinds of starts? So you at least give yourself a chance?
Yeah. Well, it's hard to build anything if you're down a couple, you know, almost before the ice is wet. You know, it's important that we give ourselves a chance to build a game. And there's been a few games where we just haven't done that. I thought it wasn't a perfect start last game, but at least we allowed ourselves to stay in it. And I think because of that, we're able to build some things. And there's a lot we can take out of the last game, despite the result. Now the key is we've got to build on it and not slip back.
Anaheim and Vancouver, quickie couple of West Coast games here. Is this the right time for that? Not that you have a choice, but it seems that maybe, you know, getting out of town, heading west, might be a good call here.
Yeah, it's...
It's Vegas.
It's Vegas,
or I said Vegas. Right, I said Vancouver. Right. Vegas, yeah.
It's an opportunity to build on the last game. And, you know, maybe it's easier to do that on the road. I'm not sure. It doesn't really matter.
Right.
You know, we got a little more predictability to our game last game, and I think that makes it easier on everyone. And we did some good things. We didn't score on our chances or as many as we'd like to. And obviously, you know, with the 5-minute major, they got a couple on that power play. I've said it before. We don't control the results. We control the performance. So let's do that.
So you like the pace of the game, generally speaking, the pace of the guys? Are they playing, in a needy fashion where you got to, you know, forget about the fact you got behind early, but are they playing with that, to use another cliche, that sense of urgency you want to see?
Well, we'd like more. I think that's, you know, one of the things we want to get into our group is that, you know, let's be, you know, pursue the puck, pressure on the puck, get to full speed away from the puck defensively. And what comes out of that is you have the puck more. And then all of a sudden our skill players are in a position to make plays. And it's sometimes boring. You might do that 4 or 5 shifts in a row where you just work like a dog and you never touch it. But over time, you create opportunities to make plays.
Do I need to come down and talk to the guys? Would that help before you leave town?
No, I think they got enough people talking to them.
Last thing they need is me. All right, Dave, 30 seconds.
All right, different sport, but you share a building. The Bulls yesterday made a coaching change. If you could give their new coach, Jim Boylan, first time he's been a head coach in the NBA, just the first time, if you had one piece of advice for him, what would it be?
Well, I think it's pretty early to give me the platform to be giving people advice, but I'm trying to do the same thing, just be myself. Just try to. It's our job to get the group better every day, and I do that by being myself, and that's what I'm trying to do.
You know what I tell Boylan, Coach? I tell him to control the puck. Control the puck. Puck possession.
That's right.
Coach, good luck. Enjoy this trip and get a couple, will you?
Yeah, sounds good.
All right, bud. Thanks. Jeremy Gallatin, the head coach for your Chicago Blackhawks.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
On 720 WGN.
I've got Christmas on my mind.
Christmas Pete is here. It's the Christmas season. Ho, ho, ho and stuff. And Pete, how are you?
I am wonderful, thank you.
Can't help but notice you're wearing your holiday scarf.
I am indeed. Left over from the Vernon Hills Choir, or stolen from Mary.
The Vernon Hills Choir was nice enough to bring me a hat and a scarf, and Pete is using it. And he also has
it's not a girl scarf, it's unisex.
A jolly mug of,
you got a jolly mug
of coffee.
Oh, fantastic.
For holiday.
All right, here's what we're going to split this into two parts.
All right.
So let's start with the question that could be a $100 three-time gift certificate.
Ooh.
For somebody. What is today's Christmas Pete Christmas question?
And actually, it's kind of a Hanukkah, because we're in the middle of Hanukkah. We're going to go Hanukkah and topical.
Yeah, sure.
Friends.
Yeah.
Hence the blue and white scarf.
Remember, Tariq Cohen, a Hanukkah miracle.
That's right. In the Friends episode, the one with the holiday armadillo.
Sure.
Season 7, episode 10.
Great episode, by the way.
Tremendous episode. Yeah. Ross wants to teach his son, Ben, all about Hanukkah, but Ben thinks the idea of a year without Santa Claus sounds like a punishment. Ross, feeling bad, tries to surprise Ben by buying a Santa suit, but is only able to find an armadillo costume so close to Christmas. So just as Ross, dressed as the holiday armadillo, starts to connect with Ben about Hanukkah, Chandler appears, dressed as Santa, to mess things up. In an effort to curry favor with Ben, who does Ross say the holiday armadillo is?
Wow. Very good question. Because I thought I knew the answer, having seen every Friends episode 47 times. I don't know that I know the answer. So I can't help you, listeners. First correct answer, 312-981-7200. We'll come back with a winner and the rest of Christmas Pete right after this on 720 WGN, where Steve is standing by in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom in just a few minutes as well. We apparently have stumped the entire audience. 312-981-7200. Summarize that question again, Christmas Pete.
In an effort to curry favor with Ben, Ross, who's dressed up as a holiday armadillo, Santa comes in to ruin things. Who does Ross say the holiday armadillo is?
And if David Schwimmer's listening, he can play. He doesn't work here, so he can play to win.
He is allowed.
Yeah.
And $100 gift certificate to Tree Time is what's up for grabs. Is there a big event you want to plug that's coming up, Christmas event?
Well, I was thinking of that in honor of Hanukkah. I was going to tell you something to do on Christmas if you don't, you know, celebrate.
Get Chinese food?
Well, that's a great one.
Yeah.
We celebrate on Christmas Eve, so we're open on Christmas. So it's great. I would recommend going to a movie. We like to go to the ArcLight on North and Clybourne there.
Mm-hmm.
You can reserve your seats.
Fine
so
theater.
You don't have to be annoyed by all the people coming in late.
Yep. I saw the Lego movie there. Yeah.
You saw what movie there?
Lego.
Oh.
Lego movie.
We must be paying Pete pretty well for that theater. Get out of there with a $17 ticket. But go ahead. I digress.
And then right up the street.
This is part of Justin's grumpy old man thing that he does.
Oh, gets me. Yeah.
Right up the street, Pequod's Pizza. Open on Christmas Day.
Oh. Is that right?
Oh. Yes, open on Christmas Day.
Oh, I didn't know
Day.
That. What a good secret that is.
Head up to Pequod's. And if you feel like it, go for a drink up at Hop Leaf. Also open.
What do they put in that crust at Pequod's? Is it crack? Is it actual crack? Is that what they put in the crust?
It may be.
I think it's butter. I think butter is what butter. Makes everybody addicted.
I had lunch there last week.
At Pequot's?
They've got very good farmer's vegetable soup. Steve, you would like
it. Right, now, hold on a second.
Yes.
You went to Pequot's and didn't have pizza?
No, I had salad and soup.
What's the matter with you?
Met my son for lunch there.
Why didn't you have a vegetable pizza?
Exactly.
At least.
So disappointed in you.
I mean, they have great pizza.
Midweek, though.
Sue is in Vernon Hills. I hope Sue has the answer. What do you got, Sue?
He is Santa's part Jewish friend.
Years and years ago, there were these people called the Maccabees.
Oh, ho, ho, Merry Christmas!
Santa!
What are you doing here, Santa?
Well, I'm here to see my old buddy Ben. What are you doing here, weird turtle man?
I'm the holiday armadillo, your part Jewish friend.
Ding, ding, ding.
It's tremendous. It's tremendous. Sue, you're a big winner. You got a $100 gift card to Treat Time with the most ginormous selection of artificial Christmas trees and unique decorations anywhere. Everything Christmas at Treat Time, Pepper Road in Lake Barrington. And Merry Christmas to you.
Let's get our Christmas song on here.
Yeah, what's your selection of the week?
For Hanukkah, I am going to go with the SNL classic, Christmas Time for the Jews.
On Christmas Eve, the Gentiles gather round the Christmas tree. They stay at home and party with their Goyisha family. They disappear one day each year and pass the eggnog round. But it's all right, cause that's the night the Jews control the town.
Phil Spector Wallace sound there too, don't you?
It's sung by Darlene Love.
Oh, it's tremendous. Wow.
And that episode came out in 2005. It features Jack Black when he was promoting King Kong. But it's notable, that episode. It's the episode that debuted Lazy Sunday and foisted Adam Sandberg onto the world.
Is that right? Yeah, that was his breakout.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. And happy Hanukkah to you as well, Pete.
Thank you very much.
My favorite, Happy Joyous Hanukkah, which is a song that is always done by the choirs. And for the first 3 years of Miles being first, second, third, everyone thinks I'm Jewish because of the word Kaufman, the last name. Mm-hmm. They gave him the solo.
And knowing Miles, he didn't turn it down.
Every year he's like, and Miles will be doing the solo on Happy Joyous Hanukkah. And I'm like, all right. Okay. I get it.
Do you ever see Tariq Cohen at Temple?
I've not seen
Okay, I'm just wondering. Thank you, Pete. Another
thank
exciting
you.
Episode of Christmas, Pete. By the way, you've inspired me. I can't get you the details now, but you've inspired me to do something for the holidays. I'll tell you about it next time. Mm-hmm. How about that for a little tease? And you thought I was just, It's 902 CLTV, folks. Hi, thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. And
Burton to Cohen, looking to throw.
As far as we know, Marijuana had nothing to do with the Hanukkah miracle of the Bears getting the game to overtime before ultimately wang it away. Good morning, Adam.
Good morning, guys. How's everyone doing?
Do you know if the head coach of the Bears has sobered up since that call to tie the game?
I saw him yesterday. He seemed, I think the loss probably sobered him up.
So how's our little quarterback? Are we going to get a Trubisky or not?
I think so. I think he'll be back. Probably just gamesmanship yesterday, not committing fully. But to me, this is the, you know, when you say for a couple weeks that you're going to handle this like the Allen Robinson and Khalil Mack situation earlier this season when you sat him against, you know, rested him, I should say, against two teams that weren't all that good and then brought him back for your divisional games. This game against the Rams has been on the calendar now for a while. And I think he's going to be back and ready to go Sunday night.
But here's my question. If he isn't, could Akeem Hicks play quarterback? It seems like he does everything else.
You know, I was almost surprised they didn't go right back to him on that on the last play.
Right,
obviously,
right.
Obviously, he had something else dialed up that worked, but, you know, you needed 1 yard. Who's going to stop that guy?
Right.
That's right.
I asked Hamp this yesterday, Adam. The defense in the third quarter, and they had such a dominating game except for maybe 10 minutes. And in that 10 minutes, it looked chaotic. They looked like out of sorts. When you look back at the film, how did the Bears defense do on Sunday?
Yeah, you know, the thing about a good unit is they raise the expectations so high that you're just not used to them giving up chunk plays. And sometimes you have to acknowledge that the players on the other side of the ball are pretty good, too. And I think Saquon Barkley, you know, Dave and I had a chance to see him up close and personal last year when Penn State came to Northwestern. He's just so good. And so, you know, giving up a run here and there to a guy who's that talented, I don't think is the end of the world, and that needs to be factored into it. Now, all that said, if you look at the Bears' four losses in all four of those games, the defense has slipped up. And it slipped up at times, definitely late in games, definitely in second halves. And it's still been, you know, the one common theme all season has been giving up points in the fourth quarter. Now, they buckled down a little bit in the fourth quarter this time, but then they came, more than anything, when I went back and watched the game, I wasn't all that surprised that they struggled in this game with their backup quarterback. I was worried about it. I wasn't surprised, and it was actually impressed how they fought back. I was surprised that after all of that, and they got all the momentum back, that they played so poorly on both sides of the football in overtime.
Yeah.
They gave up
it's like
big
they quit.
Plays. Yeah, I was shocked by that. I thought for sure, and I totally agree with Nagy kicking the extra point and going to overtime, because I'm like, the Bears are the better team. They have the better defense. They're going to win this game. And on both sides of the ball, they played sloppy in overtime. That surprised me.
Here's why I didn't like going for one as opposed to two. It's not a game you needed. It's not a game you needed. It's a bonus if you win it. You go for two, you end it right there. I mean, I agree with you. I thought there's no way the momentum stops here, but they were awful in overtime. They were as flat as I've ever seen them.
My thought on that was I thought it was the right call to kick the extra point, but I wouldn't have had a big problem if he had gone for it either. And the main reason for that is we have seen this head coach have such a great arsenal of plays at the goal line all season long. Creative, more times than not they've worked. They've, you know, against the Vikings they decided to go for two and they got it twice. So if he had dialed something up there again, I wouldn't have had a problem with it, because more times than not it's working. They're scoring in that area.
Yeah, backup quarterback too on the goal line. I don't know if I would be that confident that a trick play with Chase Daniel would work.
What was it, the four fumbles that got you?
Yeah, right before. There,
just
right
hand after. It off to Akeem Hicks.
Yeah,
there you go. Well, you'd have to catch it before you hand it off. But speaking of the backup quarterback, not exactly a confidence builder. Having said that, the Rams, I don't know if you heard, really good. If our little Trubisky isn't ready to go 100%, maybe you don't risk hurting him. You don't necessarily need it, and the Vikings have Seattle Monday night.
See, I disagree. I think they got to win this game. I mean, if the Vikings lose, you're okay. But now you're starting to get into a situation where you've now lost two games in a row. I know the Packers just fired their head coach, and I've been saying all year, been trying to tell everyone that they're not that good.
Yeah, you called that.
This is still a team they can't beat. They got to prove it. I don't care how bad the Packers are right now. Bears can't beat the Packers. So I don't just all of a sudden look at that Packer game in 2 weeks going like, oh, that's an easy one. No, I mean, the Packers have the Bears' number.
And I agree with you. You talk me into it. Trubisky's got to play.
He's got to play. I thought he should have played on Sunday against the Giants. We're in December now, and this is not a team that's earned it. I realize the Bears are better, but they haven't arrived yet. You can't just be, you know, thinking you're walking into the playoffs here.
Suck it up, run the score up.
Adam, I was paying close attention to just looking at the schedule moving. You could see the percentages working to a win or go home game against the Minnesota Vikings in Week 17. That's already in the play. So you're right. The Bears need to not be in that situation, because we could be looking at outside looking in. You lose to the Packers, you lose to the Rams, you lose to the Vikings, and they're not in the playoffs. So it's not over for this team at all.
Hmm. You do not want to go.
You guys are depressing. The good news is there's no time for Stump Hoag, so Dave, you get the last question.
Well,
Samberg, you have a question?
Oh,
we'll
no, jump in. We were going to ask a White Sox question.
Yeah, no, that's coming. Okay, that's coming. Yeah. That's coming. Last football question.
Okay.
This will be a display of two of the, I guess, Adam, these would be the two candidates for Defensive Player of the Year on display Sunday night, aren't they?
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, as much as Khalil Mack's been so great for the Bears defense, I think Aaron Donald is the leader in the clubhouse right now. Mm-hmm. What he's doing consistently every single week. And don't get me wrong, Khalil Mack's been consistent too, but he missed a couple games. Aaron Donald's been kind of a different level, just dominating these football games. So, you know, there's still a month to go, but we're going to see two really good defensive players go head-to-head.
And now on baseball.
All right, real quick on the White Sox. Today, Yahoo Sports talking about possibly the Sox in play for Bryce Harper. Big trade for Alex Colom, which I think is a big deal from the Mariners. And the MLB winter meetings. What should we expect as Sox fans? Are we going to be big spenders in this offseason?
Yeah, first of all, I like the Omar Narvaez trade to bring in a really good reliever. I thought they sold high on Narvaez, who had a pretty good offensive season, and really, let's be honest, isn't all that great behind the plate. So I like that trade. And then in terms of the stuff this morning from Jeff Passan on the White Sox potentially, let's see, they sent out Jim Thome was the report, is that they're sending Jim Thome out to Las Vegas to kind of help the pitch for Bryce Harper. Look, I don't know if the White Sox are going to get Bryce Harper. They have some stiff competition, but they know what the price tag is. So just them being in on this should tell White Sox fans they're willing to spend a lot of money when the time comes to put this thing over the top and win a World Series. And I know that's always been an overrated thing for me. I feel like the White Sox have been willing to spend when they've needed to in the past, but this is on a whole different level. I mean, we're talking probably upwards of over $300 million. He's already turned that type of contract down, $350. So even to go out there and have that conversation.
Just insane.
Yeah. $350.
Yeah. Just insane.
I know, but that's what it's going to take. So if they're in the mix at all, they know that already. And they're saying, hey, we're here to do this. And that should send a pretty positive message to White Sox fans, whether they get Bryce Harper or not.
That's Dave Ennett money right there.
That's Dave Ennett money. How old is Bryce Harper?
Bryce Harper is
25 still, right?
Yeah, he's mid 20s, 25-ish.
Yeah, he's definitely going to get $35 million a year. Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's good to be him.
Yeah, it is. Wow. Really good.
It's good to be him. Adam Hoagie.
That would be 26.
26.
Yeah.
Oh, well, then he shouldn't. Adam Hoagie, we read you where?
WGNradio.com/Bears, and I'm actually working on something today, so should be up a little bit later today.
No, you little tease. All right, thank you, buddy. It's 9:21, and we continue with Barstool Sports next as Coach Chris Collins joins us, because the boys at Northwestern got themselves a big game tonight.
Yeah,
DePaul's playing really well, and they got DePaul coming up on the weekend. Oh, boy, is Dave in it busy. Everybody's excited about Northwestern football, and they should be, but guess what? Northwestern basketball team, no surprise that they're good, but they're off to a great start. 6-2, Michigan tonight is quite a test for the youngsters.
Yes, it is.
And then DePaul playing really well. I got DePaul in just a few days. Coach Chris Collins joins us now, Coach. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. Always good to talk to you.
How's that new arena? Still have that new arena smell?
It does. It does. Every day I go in there, I get a big smile on my face. It's a fantastic venue and really fun place to watch a game. And it's going to be a beautiful spot to call home.
You ever rub it into Doug Collins? Go, you never got a new building. Look who got a new building.
If I need it, I got it in my back pocket. I haven't had to pull that one out yet. So I'm saving it for when I really need it.
When people come out to see the Northwestern Wildcats this year, give me two players they're going to love watching. Not the entire roster, but two players they're really going to love.
I think our two seniors, Vic Law, who's been a staple since day one, since I got here, fifth-year senior, kind of really athletic, does it all, plays both ends of the floor. And then our big man, Derek Pardon, who's just been kind of the heart and soul anchor of our team the last couple years. And both those guys have worked so hard to help us kind of turn the corner with our program and give us some level of respectability. And they're the guys that lead us this year.
Dave, do you agree with that? Did Coach get that right?
Absolutely.
Congratulations,
right.
Coach. You're correct.
Thank you.
And, Derek had a great game Saturday at Indiana. And Coach, I didn't have a chance to talk to you after the game because I was hightailing it up to Indianapolis. But I came away from that game, as frustrating as it is to suffer a close loss when you have a chance to win at the end, I came away encouraged by that game at Assembly Hall, very tough place for visiting teams to play, and you're right there with a few seconds to go and a chance to win it.
Yeah, I thought our guys really responded. It was our first true road game of the year. We have 10 guys right now in uniform due to injury and so forth, and five of them are new players. So in your first Big Ten game for five new guys, to go on the road to Indiana, which is arguably the toughest venue in the Big Ten to play, to have a lead, inside of 2 minutes of that game, and not being able to close the deal was tough and frustrating, as you said, but the level of play and our poise and our fight in that game was certainly things that really encouraged me as we move forward.
Who's really scary on Michigan?
All of them. So no, it's they. When you look at their team right now, they've been as good as anybody in the country. It's crazy to think, but in their eight games, the closest anybody's come to them is 17 points. Wow. And they've played North Carolina, Purdue, and at Villanova as three of those eight games. So they're hitting on all cylinders. They're playing great basketball. Obviously, Coach Beilein is one of the best in the game and has been for a long time. So it's going to be an amazing test for us. We need a great home crowd tonight. Hopefully,
fill it up, give us
the environment. I know our guys are excited about the opportunity, but we're going to have to be our best to give ourselves a chance. Yeah.
Well, it's 2 years ago when you had your great run to the tournament. Those Big Ten games, especially the game against Michigan, were a staple of the season. So do you remind your kids? Do you get them ready for these Big Ten matchups to recognize how important these games are when, considering where you guys go in the postseason?
Yeah, I mean, and we're really the only league, the Big Ten, because we've added a couple games this year. We've gone from 18 to 20 games. So we're the only league right now that's actually playing conference games. First week of December, it's very rare and unique to do that. We have these two games here. We are at Indiana. We play Michigan. Everyone's playing two in early December, and they all count the same. So as much as you want to be at your best in January, February, March, it's equally as important to be at your best here in November and early December. And these are big games, and especially when you're playing at home, when you play in a conference like the Big Ten, if you want to be relevant late in the year, you got to win at home. You got to protect your home court, and so that's what makes a game like tonight very important for us.
I know there are very limited tickets remaining for tonight. Saturday, an early game against DePaul at 11 o'clock. They won last night. They're 5-1. I don't know if you guys know this, the last team to beat Michigan in the regular season, if I'm not mistaken, was Northwestern last year, and they were playing out in Rosemont. And then they ended the season hot, got to the championship game before losing to Villanova. One concern for you, Coach, for tonight's game against these Wolverines, anything aside from the guys you mentioned, anything stand out?
Well, they're so balanced. Coach Beilein has always been a very innovative offensive coach, and that they present a lot of problems with, just how you have to defend them. But what they've become over the last 2 years is an incredible defensive team. They're very very physical. They're very locked in with their rotations, and so in order to beat a team like this, not only do you have to defend them well, but you have to run great offense. And that's something that we're going to have to do tonight. We're going to have to, take care of the ball, not give them easy opportunities. And, my hope is, can we get to those last 8 minutes, with the game right there in the balance, and then being at home with the energy, can you give yourself a chance to win the game late?
My mom's a big sports fan. She's worried about you, Coach. She said you're prancing up and down the sideline. You look like a cat looking for its prey. Said you just look like you're ready to pounce. She thinks I should put a heart monitor on you.
Yeah, you're probably right. And part of that is because – you know, first of all, I'm very competitive, emotional guy. I always have been, and you kind of have to give your team what they need. And right now, because we have so many new guys, I've had to be more of an organizer and kind of get them to spots. And because we're still figuring it out, we're still early in the year, and we're trying to figure out what our pieces are, who needs to play well together, where we need to get the ball, and tell your mom as games go on, you know, I'll curtail that a little bit.
No, I don't think she wants you to curtail it. She just wants to make sure that you're not hurting yourself. And I tried to explain to her that you have to hurt yourself to win. And that's when she called me an idiot, and then we stopped talking.
Do what it takes, right? And by any means necessary, you got to get it done. So I really enjoy coaching this group. I hope you guys, people come out and support them. It's a great group of guys. They're
great building.
They're working really hard. They're playing well. It's a fun venue. So those of you out there that enjoy college sports, even if you're not a Cats supporter, come out, check us out. It's been a fun group to watch so far.
The Welsh Ryan Dave Ennett Arena. What time tonight?
Hardly, but 7:45 for our pregame, and then a little after 8:00 tip off the Wildcats and the Wolverines.
Go get them, Coach. Going to be a good couple of days.
All right, guys. Appreciate it. See you.
Thanks, Coach Chris Collins. We will come back with headlines in just a moment on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Well, I got me a fine wife, I got me old fiddle. When the sun's coming up, I got cakes on a riddle. Life ain't nothing but a funny, funny riddle. Thank God I'm a country boy. Woo-hoo!
Orion Samuelson joins us. Pat Brady told me the other day, he's only got one kid left in the house. She'll be going to college next year. And he wakes her up for school by going to her door and singing, "Thank God I'm a country boy," as loud as he can.
Okay.
Welcome to your day. How are you, O?
Well, I'm doing fine. Thank you very much, although I'm saddened by the George H.W. Bush passing.
I am too, but what a run. What a run, what a life.
Yes, really was. You know, it could never have happened if that submarine hadn't come up out of the Pacific and snatched him out of the water
right
before the Japanese sailors got to him to take him prisoner. So, yeah. A fascinating, fascinating story.
Now, you've met every president since Warren G. Harding. And since you've met every president, I assume you must have crossed paths with George H.W. Bush.
Had the opportunity several times because he appreciated agriculture.
Right.
He attended two Farm Progress shows, and I was on stage with him at both of those shows. And he is the only president who invited me and my crew into the White House to do a one-on-one interview.
How about that?
And gave me plenty of time to do that. But here's the story that says so much about George W. Bush. Back in the 90s, a fertilizer company based in Northbrook, Illinois, IMC, staged the annual World Food Production Conference in cities like Madrid and Rio de Janeiro and Honolulu, and then Beijing. And I was a moderator at most of those events. And so in Beijing, they invited George W. Bush and Barbara to be on the program because George H.W. had been the liaison between the United States and China
yep.
before we had ambassadorships and embassies and so on. And so they invited the Bushes to participate in the program, and they did. Well, the opening night before the convention or before the conference started, there was a small reception and dinner for about 16 of us, including George and Barbara Bush. And they came in and were having cocktails, and the ladies are sitting down chatting, and the men are standing, carrying on conversations. And finally, the president, well, he wasn't president then, but he turned to me and he said, "You know," he said, "when I was president in the Department of Agriculture, we had a well-known farm broadcaster on the staff." And I said, "Yes, good friend, Herb Plambeck." "Well, how is Herb?" I said, "He's still doing his radio reports on WHO in Des Moines." And he said, "Tell you what, he said, let's write Herb a postcard. So he turns to the chairman of the IMC company and said, will you excuse us for a moment? And we walk over to a desk in the corner of the suite, and he gets a hotel postcard, you know, which indicates where we are.
Sure.
And on it he writes, Herb, Orion and I are talking about you in Beijing, China tonight, saying only good things.
How great is that?
And then he signed it George H.W. Bush, and then he turned to me and he said, now you sign it. I said, no, I can't sign this postcard with the president's signature on it. And he said, yes, you can, and you will, because you're going to get this postcard to Herb. So I signed it, and then for the next couple of days debated, should I put it in the Chinese mail service?
Or take it home.
So that I can get a postmark, a Chinese postmark.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
And I thought about it 2 days, and I thought, no, I don't think so. I think I'll bring it back. And I did bring it back and presented it to her personally, and I think he almost shed a tear or two when he got it. But wow. To me, that was George Bush.
Yeah, what a nice touch. And I, you know, only crossed paths with him a couple of times, and he was very nice. But I think the measure of how someone is as a person, their character judge, whether you're male or female, is how you treat people who serve you in life. And the White House staff in particular was devastated when he lost in 92. And there's a famous story about Bill and Hillary coming in to the White House and Barbara having to tell the staff, stop crying and pull yourself together. They're going to be nice.
Yes.
Because they love Barbara and George H.W. so much.
Well, what was there not to love? I mean,
good stories. Good stories and a good man. And I'm telling you, we should all be so lucky to love somebody your whole life the way he did his wife, and to
yes.
to go through the incredible excitement and thrills and be successful in business and wealthy to take care of your family. And there's another story about his family, which I love this week, that came out, which I'm sure you know or had heard. And he was in church service in Maine, and the reverend was doing a sermon about family, and he said, Who out here thinks their family's perfect? No one. And President Bush stuck his hand up. I do. My family's perfect. And had a great relationship, not just with his kids, but with his grandkids. You know, everything you're hearing this week, I hope, as I've said many times, resonates with folks enough so they understand how good a president he was and how good a person he was.
Indeed, and I watched a great deal of yesterday's coverage of the activity, and I used a few Kleenex.
Sure, I get that. Though, don't ever let me see you cry; it'll really mess me up.
Oh, I'll spare you that.
And I was looking online last night, and I saw a great picture of Max Armstrong with President Bush back in the day. So,
oh, really?
Yeah. So I know you guys have crossed paths. Anyway, thanks for all that. Oh, those are great stories. I appreciate it.
Okay, have a good week.
There you go. That's Orion Samuels.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Reminder, post office is closed tomorrow. I don't know what other government businesses are going to be closed, but in honor of President Bush, as several ceremonies take place this week. You know, I just wouldn't want you to try to get your Christmas stuff out tomorrow and not know that. Later this week, after the main services are done, maybe on Friday, I'll tell the story of the close personal meeting I had with President Bush, and I don't want it to be told now again. You know, I told it before if you're a longtime listener, but
didn't you tell
it? Several requests.
Were you off air when you told you? I thought you told us yesterday.
Referenced it. Oh, okay. There's many layers. It involves the Secret Service.
That's right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's also when he referenced being in a band called Placenta Problems.
Right.
It's a good story. I'm not putting the story down.
No. I know, but it's a good also that you remind me that I've repeated myself. And I do think I shortchanged the what annoys you most about me for the audience today. So maybe we bring that back as a text question.
Oh, I'm happy to keep that as a running theme.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
The question being what...
What annoys you most about me on the show? From the listeners.
You just did the Justin.
No, I did.
You just did
like,
Steve's
I did. No, mine was like, nah, that's not right.
You know,
nothing annoys me about Steve.
I'm always trying to improve. I'm always trying to become
a better
person.
That's what I love about you, buddy.
Yeah, I'm just trying to recruit, become a better person.
Plus, I think it's a nice way for the audience to have some therapy and vent. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Every day
doesn't have to be limited just to those six texters with their hate texts every morning.
Every morning after the show, we have a meeting, and the first thing Steve says is, "How can I improve?" That's the first thing he says.
Sometimes he brings gifts. Yeah. Yesterday he brought me a gift.
That's right.
Yeah, that was really nice.
Yeah,
really
did you drop an? I know how much that gift meant to you. Did you drop a note to Maureen yet to tell her?
I haven't yet. Okay. I haven't had the chance, but I intend to.
It's well wrapped.
Yes, very well.
Yes, and the gift.
And Maureen,
can I tell people what the gift is?
Sure. Steve took credit for it.
Yes, the gift is a Santa flask and two Santa boots that are actually shot glasses.
Yes,
It's a really high end one. That lacquer on the flask is really pretty.
Oh yeah,
it's not going to chip.
Absolutely. I'm putting it in a place of where it's safe.
Manage your next road trip.
Yeah, you could put balsamic vinaigrette in there.
You could.
Balsamic, yeah.
And pour it on kale.
Yeah.
9:57. Is Bill working with you today?
Yes, he is.
All right, Bill and Wendy next on 720 WGN. I started the show today with what annoys you most about me with the listeners.
Yeah.
And we determined.
How brave. That's a very brave game to play.
Well, I don't have time to read all the comment sections on the websites. And what we came up with, it started with a particular listener who's a fan, a nice guy.
Yes.
And he said, whenever you say something you think is funny, you say, ah.
Oh.
Yeah. Joke, punchline. That whole thing.
Get two copies, you're careless, you'll lose one.
Yeah, that's my favorite.
Like that?
I was in a band called Dave Bennett's Band. Yeah, I really thought, if you're going to criticize,
yes.
Beating a dead horse, man, I think I'm good at that. So, anyway, we're going to bring that back as a text question. You guys are nice enough to listen. You got anything that really annoys you about me?
No, honestly.
You're too darn lovable.
Nothing stands out.
That's what annoys you.
That's what bothers me.
Is this the part where you have to see me in the hallway if you don't want to say it out loud?
No, I got
nothing. I'm just trying to improve. I don't know if I told you. I'm just trying to improve.
That's his tagline.
Just trying to improve. What do you guys do today?
It's a Tech Tuesday, so we're going to talk to Bridget Carey from CNET, and I believe Bill is going to share an Omaha Steaks family gift package with someone.
I'm thinking about it.
Why would you share?
I might.
Aren't you hungry?
So much food, Steve. One man can't eat it all.
All right. We'll be back tomorrow, and I'll say this then. Here's Wendy.
Oh, your tonsils look good.
Thanks.